Okay. It is the time of the month where you all have to listen because you wonder, will we read your name? Come on, don't lie to yourself. We know the real reason you click play on this. You are one of the consultants who is hoping for a shout out. You are one of the people who's written us a little letter and you want us to read your name out. It's all right to be vain. It's all right, isn't it, Anna?
It is totally. I'm just a bit gutted that none of my members have given me a shout out.
Look, we have got like probably hundreds of names to read on this episode. We're going to do a roll of call of the consultants who have been given a shout out by their members this month. That's going to come at the end. But first, welcome to Some World Podcast. Here is Down to Business listeners' questions for May 2020. Anna, it's a very weird situation that I feel almost slightly naked talking to you today. Not that I'm here to do yoga, but I feel like I have not very many clothes on, which kind of still feels quite a new thing in my journey. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a sunny I'll go back. It's a hot sunny day today and I'm not drunk, honest. And
it's early in the morning.
And I'm wearing a summer dress, which is a size small. I'm just like, yes.
I've just looked at your arms because I was having a quick stare, you know. Like, how good are your arms for someone that's lost so much weight? There's no, like, skin. No, but you've done well.
I mean, like, there is a bit, but you just...
No, you haven't got to tuck it in your knickers. You're looking good, babe.
Tuck it in your knickers. Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
Like... So I've had lots of excess skin and it's when you feel like you've got to then wear another set of clothes to tuck the skin into.
Yes, I have been
there. People out there who know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've talked before, haven't we, about wearing the Spanx in the middle of summer underneath the dress and you just feel like your stomach, your bum and your thighs are just sweating. You could see the beads of sweat drip down your legs in public and you're just praying that someone doesn't ask you whether you've wet yourself. I mean, it's like it is.
Yes.
We have been there. We have had those situations. It's absolutely mortifying. I have felt that. And I just kind of stopped today and I was putting some sun cream on, got this dress and just thought, yes, you know, I'm not at my target weight, but I feel like I haven't wore a dress like this ever, I don't think.
Oh my gosh, love it. So, well, you can't see it, guys, but you can see her beautiful collarbones, her boobs. Like, she's looking foxy. I look like I've been dug up. I didn't get the I'm wearing a summer dress memo. I just got the make sure you're awake memo.
Anna's got the blinds closed. She's got a jumper on. And I'm here in my summer dress with the sun beaming through my window. So, yeah, we are very different, aren't we?
Aren't we?
So, welcome to Slimming World Podcast. We are sponsored by Slimming World, but these are our own personal experiences and stories that we share. We get a new episode every Monday, but once a month we do this particular episode where we open the doors and we see what are you guys thinking, what are you talking about, what things are you celebrating, where are you listening to us, some of your love letters of things in previous episodes over the last few weeks that has really touched you. And we also give a shout out if you feel that your consultant has gone above and beyond to help support you, particularly during this quite complex time. I mean, it feels like April listener questions. Feels like a million years ago. Like, we're in this weird bubble, aren't we, of lockdown, where a week feels like 5 years.
But it feels strangely like normal. Have you hit that yet? Because I just feel like, oh, well, this is how I live now. Like, I just don't leave the house.
Yeah, there's a different wave to it at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah. And I think as the time's going on, I'm getting a bit more like, okay, I'm finding my rhythm. I'm finding my new routine. I'm a Capricorn. I need a routine. And my new going out is the supermarket. For a food shop.
So excited to go and do a supermarket shop on a Saturday night as I was last weekend. I mean, that's when you're talking about the highlight of your week, isn't it?
it's just a glamour. I just spent 2 hours just perusing. Exactly. I was like, what are you doing?
So you're allowed out then. This is new. Tell us about this.
Yes. So my, it's a bit complicated, so I won't lie. Yeah, but my medication slightly changed, the dosage changed, the length of time before, between the treatments changed. So it just meant that I kind of fell into the next level of shielded, which meant I have to stringently socially distance and only go out if necessary. So, you know, I just go to the supermarket, but I can go to the park for a walk. Aww. So it is brilliant. It's so nice. And that feeling of independence, and like not being reliant on, as amazing as my hubby is, do the food shopping. You know, when you ask for a red pepper and he comes back with like deep fried stuff, like, you know, oh, I thought you might like this. Yes, I do like white tiger bread, but I don't need it in the cupboard. So just that little bit of feeling of freedom and escaping as well. So yes, I yelped in the hospital when they told me. I was that excited.
Yeah, it's definitely something that a lot of us have come to realise don't take for granted. And I guess then when you go to the supermarket, you can kind of understand what we're talking about, how actually sometimes that, like, they're just, I wanted to get tomato puree. I went to a massive supermarket. They didn't have tomato puree or the type of pasta that I wanted. And that's still several weeks on in lockdown. And so then you're kind of starting to see for your own eyes, really, aren't you, to like how we are having to think around outside the box a little bit to keep going.
Yeah. But you know what I've spotted? I don't know if it's the same, maybe because I hadn't been in the supermarket for like 8 weeks. The things I always took for granted, like, were so exciting to get. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed the whole experience. Everybody else, like, is, I'm sure it won't stay like this, but, you know, the 2 meter thing. I was quite liking that no one was really coming near me and I could just peruse. I didn't like the one-way system. There was a certain supermarket that imposed a one-way system. Mm. I forgot the sweet corn. I had to go do a whole lap of the supermarket again. Yeah,
that's very, very well behaved of you. Most of us just wait till no one's looking, ducking, go get it and get out. You have to do the, you know, but I'm a rebel anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, no, I felt like I had to follow the rules or they'll kick me out. But that sums us up totally, how different we are. There's Anna following the rules at a 2 meter distance and you're the one like doing a high jump over the sweet corn.
Yeah.
On the wrong way around.
You know, like, one of the things that I don't think anyone has really talked about is, I don't know whether I should say this or not. It's a bit controversial.
Talked about naked yoga. You can
I've
say
opened
anything.
The floodgates.
Yeah.
I'm not really a hugger, right? I do hug people that I know very well and my family. But that sometimes what can make me feel a little bit uncomfortable is when, like, kind of you go and meet strangers and they're all huggers and they want to kind of touch you. And I'm not really that kind of person. So in a way, the 2 meter thing is a bit like, no, you don't need to casually touch me. It kind of has removed that. You know, all that, like when I work in Europe and I work with French and Spanish clients and they're kissers. And I'm like, is it two? Is it three? Is it one? Is it none? Is it a hug? Is it a handshake? There's just none of that. And it's like a relief. I'm like, oh, thank God.
You see, the kissing, I think, is all right. Because the kissing doesn't feel too intimate, a peck on the cheek. But that cuddle, I don't know you. Don't touch me. Don't make me squish my boobs against my chest. I don't know you. Totally with it. Also, I don't know if it's happened to you. It means you can avoid people if you see them that you don't really like. Sorry, got a slight cough, must move. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's lots of people I've walked past. It's been brilliant.
Well, you know, it's interesting times, and that's the thing that we're all kind of learning, how is it affecting us, and things are changing constantly. And I think what's been interesting, like, I keep using this phrase lockdown legacy, and I kind of feel at the moment it's kind of changed by the day. Some parts of the week I've kind of been thinking, do you know what, if you just come out of this and you maintain your weight loss and you've tried a few new food recipes, that's okay. Other days I'm like, no, I want to get that 5.5-stone award. I want to get that certificate. I want to feel it in my hands. I want to put that sticker on the book. I want to nail this. I want to come out. I want to be Target. I want to be amazing. And then other days I'm like, oh, just chill out. calm it down. Yeah. Do you know? And I think it's interesting because I have been sticking to going to group throughout the lockdown, you know, doing the virtual groups back with you. And I think it's interesting watching other people go through that process as well.
Yes. And it's different every week. Some weeks you see people go just like that. I'm taking it on. I'm going to get to target. I'm going to lose 14 stone in the next 3 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And then other days are like, I just managed to, you know, eat some pasta. That's as good as it gets. And I think that's a really important thing to accept, isn't it? That actually some days you feel like you can climb the mountain and the next day the best you can do is get up and brush your teeth. Mm. And I think that is totally normal. You know, like when we spoke to Linda Papadopoulos, she was saying, you know, it's an emotional state we've never been in before, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. But you know what I'm realising from a Slimming World point of view, the thing that's really hit me is how long this potentially is going to last like this. So what I'm feeling is we've almost got to get back into this just being normal. Like, you know, if we want to lose weight, let's make it happen, because this isn't something that's going to end for us in 3 weeks. And that's almost taken a lot of pressure off some people, I think, because a lot of what I've seen is we were trying to do this miraculous reveal when lockdown was over. And I think just treating it like normal life actually will stop us just trying to achieve things that aren't achievable in the mindsets that we're in.
Now that's interesting, because like as we kind of get into some of the things that we're talking about, by the way, we're talking a little bit about healthy extras, we've got body magic wins, we've got a couple of clarification on recipes that we've mentioned, and also a quick shout out to anyone that's had a birthday during lockdown. Because if it's been yours, I imagine, and we've had like people in our groups, haven't we, that have had big birthdays, like 40s yeah. and 50s, and it's not the birthday that they kind of planned for. And I realised the other day that that must be really, really tough. So if it has been your birthday, then a super happy birthday to you from both of us. But I think that the main thing that people are still asking really is how to keep going, and that they're finding lockdown hard. So here's a couple of people who've sent us messages. Louise said she's happy with the way she looks, but get that people sometimes pull her down. She wants to ask how to keep going when we know that group isn't going to happen for a long time, when we weigh ourselves on the scales and we're not really giving ourselves the true picture. Is there any tips? Charlotte also says she was great. She was nailing losing weight since last August. She's lost 4.5 stone, which is brilliant and amazing. But then she feels she's virtually static since the beginning of March. It's making her miserable. She's got 9 pounds to target and she weighs on the Friday, but feels like a whole week is revolved around just getting to Friday. And she just can't stop this kind of self-destructive thinking. Are there ways that she can change her mindset, and how can she get through this weird time? So they seem like kind of two themes that are bubbling amongst all of us, maybe. Some days we don't feel it, some days we do.
Very true. And I think the thing to know to anyone out there is it's okay to feel like that. And I think acknowledging it is kind of half the battle. Just going to what Louise said, my tips would be groups are still happening. I'm running all my groups and an extra one just to accommodate people. We are virtually running groups. Yes, we're not there in the horseshoe. Yes, the interest table isn't there. It's coming live from my spare room. But the sense of community that we've established, the sense of support, the fun we're having, the kind of discussions we're having are exactly the same, but it's just we're doing it on a computer, aren't we? So actually knowing group is 100% there for you for the taking if you want to get it. But also in terms of the weighing, the way I look at this is if the scales are frying your head and getting on your bathroom scales that aren't necessarily right isn't working for you, don't do it. Go buy a pair of jeans or measure your inches, because they will give you such a true reflection. But above all, know this is about a lifestyle, isn't it? And this is knowing that if you actually food optimize and you do it 100%, you will get those results. And it will show in your clothes, it will show in your rings, it will show in your bra size, as we well know. But almost kind of stripping it back and saying, right, it isn't going to be in the church hall like we've had. It isn't going to be back to normal group for a long time, possibly. So let's kind of make this new one work? I mean, Claire, you're on Zoom. Are you finding it as all right as group was?
Yeah, it's different. There's no denying it is different. You know, those little chats that you have after you weigh in, I always love to get a coffee and I just kind of sit down to do next to different people and just have a chat one-on-one. I miss those little conversations. And afterwards, if someone had said something, you can go and tap them on the shoulder and say, I didn't want to speak up, but I really, I'm glad that you said that today. That really helped me. Those little things are missing. But it gives me the routine, I think, is helping me.
Yes.
And you know, going and doing a group for me on a Saturday is what I'd kind of done for many years, really. Oh, I'd kind of dipped between Thursday and Saturday, but it just kind of gives me a bit of structure for my weekend. I'm trying not to work weekends. So then after group, I'm thinking, right, how can I get back to my planning? What meals can I cook? And actually, you know, for the first time ever last week, I didn't weigh. I just forgot, but also I just didn't bother. And I've not really lost anything. I have weighed this week just to check in. But the feeling it gave me of not weighing actually just meant I didn't have to think about it. And I could just concentrate. Well, let's enjoy myself. Let's eat some great meals and get back to cooking and planning and mixing it up. It took the pressure off a little bit. But I think, you know, initially the Zoom calls, it was a bit weird. There's no denying it. But now it feels a little bit like we know what to expect. And like what we're saying, it's almost like we're developing a new normal.
Yeah.
But I imagine for some consultants that it must be quite difficult for them because like you've got a lot of technology to deal with. You've got to like kind of guide your members through. And that was probably quite stressful. And then you've got to kind of be on camera and perform. And like we know, putting a microphone in front of our mouths, we're okay reasonably. But if we had to do this as a TV show,
can you imagine?
We'd crap our pants. So, you know, to go to be like a consultant and perform on camera, I think under a time restraint with technology to deal with as well, I think is incredibly difficult. So,
do you know what I'm finding the hardest as a consultant? Like, so normally you were in a session where we had someone crying. Normally I'd go and give them a cuddle.
Yeah.
Normally I'd be like, and I can't get to you guys. And, you know, it is equally as weird as it is for you. It's so weird for us. But you know what I love? That we've got something. It's not what we're used to, but we've got something that will hold us tight. So my biggest tip to you, darling, would be find yourself a Zoom. Find yourself your virtual consultant and your team, because when you've got that team of people that are vying for the same thing, you feel like, you know, you can absolutely do it. Going to Charlotte, I don't know what you think about this, but Claire, my instinct is it's a diet for you, Charlotte, because if you're waiting for the Friday and you're waiting for weigh and you're waiting for it to end, it feels restrictive and it feels tight. Tell me if I'm wrong, Charlotte. Do send us a little message. I think sometimes what happens to us when we're chasing the numbers, and Claire and I have both been there, we only focus on the numbers. And you probably forget what you were like 4 stone 7 ago. You forget how awful you felt when the sun shone and you had to go out and put a summer dress on. And actually what's happening to you is the pressure of the number is making you kind of weigh, stress, binge, stress again, then want it over. Whereas if you took the pressure off a little bit and maybe concentrated on the positives that you've already achieved, it wouldn't feel like that. Also looking at, and I will always say this to my members, what are you missing eating? What is going on in your food optimizing that's maybe not giving you as much enjoyment as non-food optimized food is almost? Because if you're going down the route I used to go down, which is like the chicken salad, you know, the boring boiled eggs and spinach and restricting yourself, I go for the big burgers, I make the pizza, I make, you know, fajitas and all that type of stuff, the food I really enjoy, so I don't feel like I have to crash and burn on weigh day and go and eat all the fast food.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, Claire?
Yeah, it does. Keep figuring it out, Charlotte, you know.
Because both of us are not far away from where Charlotte is. I've got 11 pounds to go. And you're not far off it either. And we are finding this last bit is like taking our soul. We've got to work harder. But you know what? I've been doing a lot of work on myself, on really celebrating who I am and what I've achieved and the great things. And I think what we're not great at doing as slimmers is celebrating that. Like Claire coming on today in her little summer dress and being like, do you know what? I look all right. Do that rather than go, got 9 pounds to go to Target. This still wobbles and this still, because actually what we were talking about in, was it last week's podcast, was that actually I'm never probably going to get to that point where I look at my body and go, this is perfect, this is perfect, this is perfect, because that's not reality. But actually looking at what you have done, not what you still got to do, is sometimes really, really key.
See, I realised the other day, I remembered that life is meant to be enjoyable.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Yeah. And also, this isn't meant to be torture.
Yeah.
When Margaret created Slimming World, nowhere in it did she think, I want to torture people. And that's, if you can find the joy in food optimizing and the fact that you are losing weight while eating all this great food, the hard work stops. Mm. It's when this feels like a torturized situation that every pound feels like a slog.
You know, speaking about these kind of like light bulb moments, something that Pam wrote to us, I thought might be quite useful for you to hear, Charlotte, actually. So after 2.5 years and almost 3 stone lost on Slimming World, I'm laying out in the sunshine. I'm listening to the back catalogue of podcasts, which I usually do on the train, but more recently I do while I'm doing my food shop. I've just listened to the episode, A Milestone and a Moment of Clarity. And this is where I recorded that in my bed, didn't I? And I was kind of realised this year that I'd not drank any alcohol for a whole year, where I'd come in my weight loss journey, and I got really emotional about it. And Pam said it really struck a chord hearing me speak about my emotion when reaching that milestone. What Pam's learning is that when she achieves something, she's super quick to push it aside and then just focus on the next thing. And she's realised listening to that particular episode that she needs to give herself time to celebrate her successes. You know, no one else has lost weight off her body but her. And that kind of really sums it up quite nicely, doesn't it?
So brilliant. Well done, Pam. What an achievement.
So Lou sent an email, which I thought was quite interesting, because sometimes we really shout about, yes, I've lost 10 stone, 11 stone, 5 stone, 4 stone, and that's brilliant. But sometimes people come to Slimming World and they've just got a stone to lose. And, you know, they kind of look around and they're not getting the big numbers that other people in the group might get. And so Lou talked about this as feeling a bit weird for her. So she's a Target member, and this August is going to be her second anniversary of reaching Target. Congrats. Now, she says, like many listeners, she's struggled with her weight pretty much all of her adult life, and she's tried pretty much every diet. However, she feels like she suffers from imposter syndrome a little, because it's so impressive to get to Target, but then she feels she only had to lose just over a stone, 16 pounds in total. So she said it'd be really good to hear some stories that are similar to hers, that is not having to lose loads but still have lost it, and in her case, maintain at Target. And so she feels like there's many people that might be out there with these feelings of Slimming World imposter syndrome, and she hopes that by writing this email, saying it out loud to us, that it can be something that we think about. She gives a consultant, Kelly, a thank you as well in Windsor, Kelly Taylor.
Can I tell you, most people that walk in my door have between about 1.5 to 3 stone to lose. That's the average.
Is what I was thinking. You know, we hear the headlines, don't we? It's impressive. But the reality is, most people, it's like, you know, I've got, what, 9 pounds to Target.
I've got 11. Yeah, we could go and join now, couldn't we? And that's all we'd have to lose. So I think sometimes what happens in groups is that if you don't see, well, if you've got like me, multiple sessions, like what, 6 sessions, you might not see the true texture of what comes through the door, because you might be in a group where there's people who've lost 7 stone in there, 8 stone, 9 stone, but actually you didn't see the Thursday morning where most of them had lost 1.5 stone. So I think it's always good to ask, always good to go and, you know, look on Instagram, look on your Facebook group and actually see it. But also remember, darling, no one thinks you're an imposter. To lose weight I have to say, hand on heart, apart from quitting smoking, is the single most difficult thing I've ever achieved in my life. Now, I'm talking as a dyslexic, dyspraxic, who took 10 years to learn to drive. That was easier than losing weight. And I think this is not what anybody else feels about you. If you are a Target member, that is in itself an achievement, let alone nearly 2 years. So I think sometimes, and I'm not saying it necessarily of you, some of this pressure comes from within, not from external forces. Actually, your weight loss is just as significant as someone who's lost like what Claire has lost, you know. And actually, what we know is it can be slightly harder when you've got less to lose psychologically to get on with it. So I think you should be really proud of yourself. And like we were just saying about the last lady, you know, celebrate what your body's done.
Yeah, and if there's anything I could say, this last stone has been the hardest part of the journey. So actually, if you're joining and you've got a stone to lose, wow, you know, you're, I think it's going to be quite difficult. You've joined at the hard part, people. That's reality.
I've had four ladies who are joining Zoom this week, and they want to lose between one stone and one stone four, all of them. That's all they want to lose. So I say all. That's an amazing achievement. But what I'm saying is you can see how normal that is. So
yeah. So food then, recipes, a couple of clarifications that we need to make. So John has sent a message. I quite like the way he phrased this, actually. I'm a 5-stone loser and a 2-time diamond member. I feel like that needs to be like a badge, doesn't it? Anyway, he was saying that, as usual, he was listening to us whilst walking his dog, and I reckon it was you mentioned the 7-sin pasta sauce. What exactly is this, please?
I don't think it's 7-sin. I think it's 7-speed.
Oh.
Because I don't make a 7-sin pasta sauce. I make a 7-speed. Do you think that's well? I'd love to know what episode you heard it in, but I'll just tell you this because it's better that it's 7-speed than 7-sin. So it's a bit off the back of a Jamie Oliver recipe. I think I did it when Daisy was first weaning to try and get vegetables into her. So it's whatever's in your fridge. But it's predominantly tinned tomatoes, courgettes, peppers, onions, mushrooms, celery and carrot. Just whizzed together.
Nice.
But it's very simple. And the reason is because they're all like the ones that go together and they're quite sweet. You just whiz it all up. Whatever herbs you've got, I like to put fresh basil in it. And just, yeah, it's great as like a base on a pizza. You can make it for just a sauce on its own. You could chuck it in your spag bowl. It's really simple.
Mm. So then,
are you giving cooking advice?
Yeah, are you giving cooking advice? I know. It's not like it's your job or anything.
Not cooking in it. I didn't get employed as a Slimwell consultant because I could cook. I would have lasted 4 minutes, not 9 years.
Could you imagine that if you had to audition to be a Slimwell consultant by how you cooked?
There's a lot of us that wouldn't have jobs out there. A lot.
Okay, so Maggie also says she's intrigued as she's not heard of magic pancakes. Can you let her have the recipe, please? And Nikki from Farnborough also asked this. This is a very early episode one. Magic pancakes. I've always wondered, is this just like something that we hear about in Manchester? Because, I mean, I had pancakes 2 days in a row last week. I love them.
There's so many different ways. The magic pancake way is different to the way I now make my pancakes, though.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. Shall I go through magic pancakes or do you want to take the first one?
No, go on, you do it.
So magic pancakes is 40 grams of plain porridge oats, your healthy extra B choice, a yogurt of your choice. Should you want to go for a sweetened one, you may need to sin it. And I like a thick, fat-free Greek yogurt, bit of vanilla essence, an egg. Mix it all together. I like to let it sit in the fridge if I've got any time because I think it makes a firmer pancake, personally. I don't know if you'd agree. Then you can get these little silicone molds that are the most helpful thing, and you just pop in your frying pan and then you dollop it in and you get the little pancake. If not, just whack it in a pan in a circle shape. Cook low and slow, about 3 minutes on each side. Flip and serve with a fruit of your choice.
Yeah. Mine's super, super similar. I mean, obviously, I don't use egg. being vegan. So I've tried different things, actually. I've been sinning bananas and mashing my bananas. That's a good binder. It's an egg replacer. There is also actually egg replacement brands that are out there, and some of them are sin-free. And so I just put that in. But what I also like to do, and I've realised it's not classed as sins, is to blitz the porridge oats. So it makes the pancake a bit smoother.
Yes. Do you know what I do now? I don't put the yogurt in. I have the porridge oats, an egg, some milk, some vanilla essence, a tiny bit of sweetener, and make it into a crepe. Next level.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my little treats. In fact, I've put that on my food diary this week to have on Saturday morning. So I'm going to get up, and before I go to group, I'm going to have my pancakes. Because I just feel like that is what we're talking about. Like when we say, go back to Charlotte. That doesn't feel like a diet. That feels like it's enjoyable. Like I'm genuinely looking forward to Saturday pancakes.
Yeah. And do you know, we've made it, we eat it as like, well, Phil doesn't like them, but we eat it as a family, me and Daisy. And we have like some, you can get some different syrups that are sin-free or very low sin. We have it with banana and some bacon and blueberries. And it's an absolute feast, a nice fresh coffee. You don't feel like I've got 45 grams of bran flakes. An old banana and this is rubbish, didn't you? Like, excited to go and eat it.
Yeah. One of the things that you'd said the other week, which I prepped already, is I put a banana on a skewer stick and I've put it in my freezer. I'm going to eat that later because, you know, when it's frozen, it tastes a bit like banana ice cream, because I'm still doing my no chocolate, no cakes, no biscuit thing. So I'm looking for other ways to do it. And so I tried it the other week, but it was messy. So I put it on a stick this time, hoping it might be a little bit more structured.
Did you put anything else on it? Or was it just the naked banana?
Yeah, what did I put on? On mats, I think we put chop shop all over it. But it's just messy when you do it, because as it melts, it's just like bleh.
Yeah, I sinned some mixed nuts, a little bit of chop shop, and rolled it in the mixed nuts. Like, did half of it. That was good.
Oh, okay. Let's stay on the subject of food then, okay?
Yeah.
So, healthy extras. A couple of questions that have come in on this. So, Karen says she's struggling to have two healthy extra A's, so it's a calcium allowance. She doesn't drink tea or coffee, would only really have cheese melted on a sandwich or on lasagna. So, it's not something that she's kind of naturally having as part of her meal every day. If she only has one, or say the second one, she has 100 ml of whole milk instead of 200 ml, does it matter? Is having less than the full allowance going to have an impact on weight loss? This is interesting, isn't it? Because we did an episode about calcium, didn't we, a while back? And I went and looked at the science around this, but I'd be interested to hear it like from a plan point of view.
So, no. What we know is the more calcium you can have, the healthier you're going to be. It can help aid weight loss, calcium, but this is here for a health point of view to make sure you get your recommended daily allowance. So, if you're having one, you're safe. What I would say, though, is go and have a little look at the fruits, the veg, the free foods that contain the little C symbol, because the more calcium you can get in, we know you'll be healthy. But if you're having one, that's absolutely fine. But we know we've got the space energy-wise, and your weight loss will be brilliant if you get the second one in. It sounds to me, though, that you're almost having two, because you're having 100 mils of milk with it. So, yeah. Don't worry too much. They are there to support your health.
It's like doing little things like a hot chocolate at the end of the day, or I found sometimes cooking with coconut milk, like, you know, in a paella or a dal, something like that. That's a way to get it in. And like spring greens, I think, are the absolute daddy of everything, because they've got an F, an S and a C next to them. And it's one of the things that more recently I've just started always having in my freezer. Sometimes you get a big bag that are already cut for you. Sometimes you can get them fresh. And I've just started chopping them up, keeping a bag in the freezer, and I just throw them into any meal that I have. Because you're right, like, there's calcium comes in different places. But I think if you go back and listen to that episode, Karen, I can't off the top of my head remember the exact research that I talked about. But one of the things that it made me realise is that it talks about how having calcium can boost your metabolism.
Metabolism.
It's not that we talk for a living at all. Metabolism. And I thought that was interesting. And it helps your body boost your metabolism to burn fat. So if you're losing weight, actually, sometimes skimping out on calcium is not going to help you, but it could help you if you boost it. Do you know what I mean?
We know not only does it have health benefits, but it also has weight loss boosting benefits. Mm. But I think there's a really important thing to recognize. Like, I'm all about eating for hunger and for the satisfaction. So don't feel if you haven't got your second healthy A in, like you need to be drinking your 250 mils of milk as you walk up to bed at night. Like, don't be struggling to get it in. It's okay.
Yeah. So the other thing, Rola in Timperley, not far from us actually, she mentioned about healthy extra choices. So some have Sins and some don't. And she was wondering, like, between different brands, like, why is that? And also, during these difficult times, is it okay if we swap some brands from others as long as we check the Sin value? And I kind of think I know the answer to this, but you're the consultant. So what do you say?
Well, I'd like to know what your answer is. Do you want me to say it and then you tell me if that's what you were thinking?
Well, my thinking now as a member is that Slimmer World has this database. They're constantly checking, like, what's the fibre, what's the calcium in the food. And I know this from now switching to be vegan and looking at cheese, for instance. And I've started reading the labels a little bit more, how much calcium is actually in the cheese and how much calcium is in this cheese. And I found it a little bit frustrating sometimes that I really like this cheese, but it's not got that much calcium and it's not classed as a healthy extra. So I'm imagining that the ones that are Sins and don't have the lettuce next to is quite simply because when Slimming World's investigated, that hasn't got enough fibre to be classed as a healthy extra B. It's not got enough calcium to be classed as a healthy extra A.
So almost 100% bang on. Well done. It could just be a little thing like, actually, you're looking at the same energy level, but remember, the calories come from all the ingredients. So actually, just because it's the same calories doesn't mean it's as healthy. So it doesn't have the same fiber, doesn't have the same calcium, might have too much sugar in it and all of those things. So sadly, each different brand will have a different ingredient structure and it could just be tiny. Also, if you look at white bread versus wholemeal bread, the calories will be very similar. If not, some white bread might be slightly lower, but the white bread won't have the nutrients that will keep you full because it won't have the level of fiber that we know the wholemeal bread does, so keeps you full. And the whole point of food optimizing is about satiation, the fullness you are going to get. And we know when you're full as a slimmer, you're going to be far less likely to jeopardize or sabotage your weight loss journey. So actually, yeah, calorie wise, it might be the same, but actually filling wise, it won't be.
Interesting.
I couldn't see my hand movements there, could they? I got fully into it.
I know. Oh, yeah, you are a bit of a... You look a bit like the Queen doing the Royal Wave.
Got my nails back, look. I'm properly
She's
like...
She's got multicoloured nails. My goodness. Talking about colours, okay? This is seamless.
Ooh, nice segue.
Bronze, silver, gold, right? Body magic certificates. People are smashing through this. I guess, you know, you want to get... What's your lockdown legacy? Maybe a lot of you are going to go and get your body magic awards because that's what's keeping you out the house and keeping you going. Tina dropped us a message to say, at the beginning of April, decided to get out and run, walk or cycle every day to help her mental health and weight loss. She's now earned her Silver Body Magic Award. Yeah, a certificate.
Woo-hoo.
I like that. I like that she said, yeah. She's now working towards her gold award. Nice one. She started doing park runs about 6 weeks before lockdown as she wanted to be able to run 5K before she's 50. Her birthday is in October. Her first park run was 36 minutes, but now I can do it in 28 minutes. I cannot believe I can actually run 5K. I mean,
wow,
what? That is brilliant. Your first park run was better than my second run only a few weeks ago. And like, that's amazing. So next, when she says, when this is over, I'm going to enter a duathlon and a 10K run. I mean, boom, do all that before you're 50. Get that gold. Is there even a platinum these days? Does it still exist?
Yeah.
Is there?
Of course a platinum does.
I want one of them. Give me one of them.
It's like a shiny award. See, I'm just trying to look if I can show. I haven't got any in my box, love. Otherwise, I'd show you one.
Okay. That's amazing, though. That's brilliant. We talk about flipping a situation on its head and thinking, right, what can I do?
Yes, and looking at what kind of is available for you to do, because yeah, you can't do park runs, but could you still run on the park? Mm. Yeah, you can't necessarily do the marathon or the triathlon you want, but could you try and do that kind of thing in your garden? And what could you do? Like, I know you couldn't swim in the paddling pool and all of that, but I know like a lot of my members have turned their static bikes, their cycling bikes into static bikes and doing things in their lounges and all sorts of things. So yeah, where there's a will, there's a way.
So thinking about like kind of this mindset thing as well, Louise sent us an email and she wanted to say thanks for a book recommendation that she heard. Now, I think this is one that you've mentioned, Anna. I think this is one of yours.
It is.
So you mentioned a book called Stop Thinking, Start Living by Richard Carlson. She ordered it, blown away by it. She's 49 and has suffered from depression for most of her life. Can honestly say that this book has already made her look at life differently, and reading it has been one of the most important things she's ever done for herself. So thank you. And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because like I've been reading a load more too, and it's about using your time effectively whenever you get it. Get those snatches of time to, rather than sit there and worry and stress, like, can you read this book? Can you read the Habits book that I read, you know, the other week? It's using that time effectively.
But Louise, do you know what, darling? That book changed my life. And it is, do you know what you said? I think people think, how can a book change your life? I read that book and I think it was in about 12 hours. It may have been a little bit longer. And I was very poorly. I should have been hospitalised. And I hadn't eaten a proper meal in 3 months. And I read this book and I went to my mum in the kitchen. I said, Mum, I need to eat. What do you mean you need to eat? I said, I just feel better. And having read that book, it helped my mental health so much. It was the beginning of my journey. And still now, what, 17, 18 years later, when I feel a little bit wobbly, I get that book out. It's amazing. So Louise, please keep me posted on how you get on.
So what else have we got? Kathy sent us a message, which... it's quite a big question, really. We've done two episodes on this subject in particular, but it's around alcohol, it's around booze. And quite simply, she put a lot of question marks in this, but it says, how have you both managed to give up the booze? I'm a target member. My downfall is wine, especially in lockdown. How did you do it? Question mark, question mark, question mark. There's six question marks in her message. It's a hard one to give a one sentence. I don't know. No, you go.
For me, it wasn't about necessarily weight loss, although that did have an impact. For me, alcohol got to the point, for my health, it wasn't great, but for my mental health, it was even worse. And I was someone who had, when I had a drink, my behaviour was not the behaviour that I wanted it to be. And it was getting to the point where I just didn't like who I was when I drank. And then I was never a person that drank a nice glass of wine. You know, I got the taste, I got the smell. I drank to get hammered. Like, that was it. I was getting obliterated. And I realised I didn't actually like the taste of booze. I didn't like what it did to me. And actually, I could lose more weight by cutting it out. So it was a no-brainer, really. And it was our wedding anniversary, and we opened a bottle of champagne. I had three sips. I was like, I don't like this. So it's actually evolved. I don't know if you feel it as time goes on. I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, I think that in terms of practical ways of how I did it, I like to understand. I think I had to face the reality. I started writing down how I felt when I was hungover, like what thoughts were going through my head. And I documented Yeah, just that I captured that the moment, you know, the last time that I was drunk, how I felt, the shame, the guilt, how ill I felt, what it did to my body for the next 4 or 5 days, actually. And so I could really see the reality, because I think sometimes we kind of, culturally, we're told that booze is this amazing thing. We need it to celebrate a birthday, to celebrate a wedding, to cheer ourselves up, to commiserate. You know, the first thing that a lot of people are looking forward to, which is completely cool if that's your thing, when we get out of lockdown, is the day the pubs open and it's going to be amazing and we're going to go get smashed with our mates. It's going to be brill. But the reality is then you're going to feel pretty crap the next day. You probably, like, you know, for me, cider was the thing that I used to drink a lot of. And it's just so cinerific. You know, like one pint, really. You're allowed a pint a day if you just kind of do your sins daily. And when I really, really, really looked at the reality, I thought it's not really working out for me. But the way I did it, so I journaled, I wrote down and captured what the reality was. So whenever I felt tempted to go back, I read that and thought, no, I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to be like that again. Capture and challenge, however Linda said it the other week. And then the other thing is I nerded out. I started reading a lot of Quitlet books. Quitlet. Did I say that right? And so I read about, like, alcohol. The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober by Catherine Gray was fantastic. And then I've kind of found online communities like One Year No Beer that I kind of connected with other people who were having the same thoughts as me. Because I think a lot of people think that just when you are not happy with the booze, that if you say it out loud, people will think that you're an alcoholic, and that's not the case. Actually, you just want to dial it down a bit. And the phrase they use is change your relationship with alcohol, which I quite like. And that's how I approach Slimming World, change my relationship with food. It's not about quitting something. It's about changing your relationship. And then the cravings subside. You know, I'm feeling this with the chocolate. A few weeks ago, I don't think I could have got through maybe 2 or 3 days without eating some kind of sweet treat. And now I'm like, well, I think I'm 21 days in today. And I still think about it. The cravings are still there. It's habitual for me after eating. It's the evenings that get me. And I think when I was drinking, it was the evenings that got me then. It was social circumstances with my friends. So there will always be these trigger situations. But sometimes just getting through the firsts are the hardest thing. So when you get through that first week, that first day, that first month, you get through your first social occasion. The first holiday that I did alcohol-free, I've really found quite difficult. And once you get through the first and the cravings do subside, it does just become a bit lighter, a bit easier. You start to not fight with yourself so much. But a lot of it comes with just taking that first step. It's like the thing with food that we're doing about, like, the moderating, you know, when you kind of then go back and you want to kind of, like, do I want to bring chocolate in a little bit into my life? Would I want to bring drink back into my life just a little bit? Maybe like a glass of wine every Saturday evening or something, or a chocolate bar every Sunday afternoon. That might be an option for me, and it is an option for me. I've never ruled it out. But at the moment, it seems to be working for me, not having anything, and I don't feel like I'm missing out, so I'm going to continue. So that's what I think about this idea of changing our relationship, because I think what culture and society tells us, it's either or, it's black or white, you're an alcoholic or you're not an alcoholic, you're overweight and fat or you're slim and skinny, and that's not the reality, because there's all this weird grey bit in the middle, which is where most of us are, but that's what we just don't talk about.
Do you know what, Claire? The point you just said about not missing out, like, I think there is that FOMO, isn't there? But, oh my God, life for me is so much better without booze. So much better.
I mean, my curiosity was, I know what it's like to drink. I know what it's like to be drunk. But I don't know what it's like to go out and not drink. So I'm just going to give it a go and see what it's like. And it was curiosity that led me down that. It's just like, don't get furious, get fascinated kind of thing. Okay, I've tried that. Let's try something else. If you approach it that way, then yeah, it might be enjoyable. You don't blooming know, do you?
No.
So anyway,
well, Kathy wasn't expecting that answer, was she?
Right, let's...
Well, they're passionate about Mill Balls.
So the other thing, Audrey in Ireland asked us, she is visually impaired, so sometimes finds going to group and getting to the venue quite stressful, but she's loving the virtual group. She feels like she's connected and she's thanking Slimming World for the opportunity to do this during lockdown. But she does wonder, will virtual groups be a permanent option for people in the future? Now, you're a bit more clued in to what's going on in head office than I am as a consultant. I'm imagining you don't know the definite answers to this.
We sadly don't know anything, my darling. We are literally taking it one week at a time because everything's changing. So right now we're just concentrating on what's happening during COVID-19 and while we're social distancing. I wish I could tell you more, but we just don't know.
It's May right now, so you might be listening to this in the future. So if you are listening to the future, just go on the website and just go find out what the score is, because obviously by the time we publish this, it might be out of date. So we're just kind of capturing where we are right now. Interesting places where people are listening. I'm always fascinated by this. And we still get loads of photos, don't we, of random fields and random footpaths where people are sending us their snaps. I do enjoy that. I feel like we're kind of somehow connected, that wherever you are right now, you're taking a picture. So then we can kind of almost feel like we are walking alongside you wherever this footpath is taking you right now, or however far into your run you are, and you're probably wishing that we just shut up and get it over with so you can get home and get the run out the way. But then the more peaceful people, like you, like to do this, like Karen listens in the bath.
Oh, the things I like to get up to in the bath, like as
what?
In the things I don't know.
What?
I mean it like that. I meant like the things I do, because my bath is my dad. Oh my God, that sounded so dodgy. I didn't mean it like that.
Yes, it did.
When you've got a child, having a bath on your own is a real luxury. So I like to listen to podcasts. I catch up with some TV programs, read a magazine, chat to friends, just lie in the dark and rock. But yeah, I do like to listen to a podcast in the bath.
On another subject, Hayley was listening to us the other week, painting her fence. Very practical.
Oh, good call.
Many of you sent messages that you like to listen to us whilst you are walking. Jen was one of those people, and she said she was walking down the street laughing at the naked yoga. So if you thought they were laughing at us previously when you were commuting on public transport, now you're looking like even more weirdos as you're laughing, walking down the street, thinking about Anna in the bath doing very strange things and me doing naked yoga in my attic.
Do you know what I'd like to know, though? Because I talk so fast. Do people's like walking pace speed up when I'm talking and slow down when you're talking? Does their heart rate go up when I'm like, blah, 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 blah? Does their heart rate go down? It'd
maybe
be really interesting.
Maybe you could be the one that finishes the podcast, so that people who are running listening get the sprint finish.
Oh, I like it. Because you know they did a report about people, they did a study on people listening, like you listen to really fast, really loud music when you're driving. I have to have like mellow, chilled out, and people's heart rate and how fast they drove when they listen to different types of music. It'd be interesting to see what happens to people when they listen to them.
Maybe. We had a letter from afar as well. Deb listens to us in Alberta. She's a Brit and she moved out there 7 years ago. And she loves listening just to hear the British accents, and it adds a smile on her face. She's always out walking the dog when she listens. We make her day, and she's restarting her Slimming World journey for a countless time. But hey, Deb, we've all been there. So good luck on your new journey. I'm guessing you're doing it online.
Big love, Canada.
So shout outs, target shout outs and awards. Jenny in Bristol was the first person in her group to reach target in lockdown. Boop. Anon on email says, I've reached target, but what next? I'm just listening to the Target podcast in the bath. She's a little bit behind. She's a key worker and work is mad. She reached target Easter. Get in. However, she's just a bit confused about what Woo-hoo! To do next. She's just asking, can she get the Slim for Life book online? And actually, she's found it quite difficult. Like, the journey hasn't ended now that she's become target in lockdown. She's had to withdraw from things like social media. So it's just having to get back into the game. She started again, but target's back in sight. So the support, I guess, that is in the Slim for Life book, it is online, isn't it? It took me a while to find it, but it is on Lifeline online.
Yeah, it's like a target zone in there. And do you know what? We don't know your name, darling, but the Slim for Life book is like a guided 12-week, your first 12 weeks of target. And I would really recommend that you utilise that, because that will help you with the natural feelings that you're feeling once you get to target. I think, like Claire and I have often talked about, I think what happens to a lot of us when we get to target or approaching target, we think it's some like magical, glorious place where the fireworks are going off and it's going to be easy. Nothing really changes apart from you're at the weight you want to be. Now we've got to help you with the real work, which is maintaining it. And I think maybe what might help you is to look at why you've struggled maintaining it. Maybe were you on the right route? What support you might need emotionally? How your body magic's going? I would recommend that you get to that section on your Slim for Life group, on the Slim for Life book. I'll put my teeth back in. So yeah, I'd say to you, darling, really go and seek out all that target kind of zone on the website, because there is so much help, so much support and information on there, and that will really guide you kind of where you are right now psychologically. Because I know when I've hit target before, it's quite a weird space to be at. So maybe it's just kind of getting that rhythm and finding that new space of the new you.
And actually, as if when we reach target as consultants, although it's virtually, do you still have an option that you can send us a Slim for Life book in the post?
So it's really hard. So it depends what the consultant's got at home. You see, like, everything's in my venue and I can't get into mine. So I've got two Slim for Life books at home, and I need one. So I've just sent one out to a new target member. I will find out if head office can send them out, but I don't know the answer. Good question. So
it's an ASCII consultant situation, you know, on their situation, their current situation.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, totally.
Ken Potter became a Diamond member this month. Get in. So Diamond member means that you have maintained your target for a year. Is that right?
It does indeed.
Yeah. So he lost over 4 stone to reach target. And sent us an email. He's relatively new to a podcast, but you sent us a number of emails, Ken, about the books we talk about, and just that you're really enjoying it. So you say that, like many other members, you found it more difficult after reaching target for a couple of reasons. The challenge seemed to be taken away. You relaxed, you took your foot off the pedal as you thought your journey was over. So you treated it like previous diets and not a way of life. And then when others in group were reporting weight loss each week, it felt like you were failing as you maintained. Which I think was so interesting for you to say that to us and for us to read that message out on this podcast. Since then, you say over the last year, your health has improved. You've come off some of your medication and you love listening to us whilst you work out because it makes time pass a bit quicker. So, I mean, what a great success story that is, like, to kind of have all that reflecting, like he's kind of noticed that as he's maintaining, that he's still got these feelings coming up about the challenge not being there and how that makes him feel, rather than, you know, just disappear, slip out the way, go back to old habits, eat again, and then come back and do it all over again. It's like that way of life thing that's crept up again.
It's so interesting. Excuse me. Ken, I think it's really important. I think what we recognise as slimmers is that there are different points in the journey where you feel different things. So for a lot of people, it's the chase, isn't it? It's the achievement, it's getting the awards, it's all of that. And what we're not great as human beings is looking, when we get there, of the benefit of being here. We are looking for reward and recognition constantly, and what we haven't found the reward and recognition from is just being. And that is one of the things I found the hardest, like, oh, okay, this is where I am now. So where's my head meant to be? What do I do now? Who am I now? Because We're in search of that mythical place sometimes, aren't we, Claire? And we've talked about this. When we get there, life's going to be fixed. Life's going to be brilliant. And what we don't recognise is actually, I'm probably going to be about 90% the same I was before, but just in a slimmer body. So I think what you say is totally natural to feel. And I think that the best advice I could ever give you is just being really aware of that and really aware that, you know what, you're in no way a failure because you're maintaining. It's incredible. And I always flip it. Think about all those people that are losing weight. They're sat there going, oh, Ken, he's maintaining it. I can't wait till I get to that bit. So it's just a different kind of energy, isn't it? And a different kind of headspace where we're at. But I would say always connect with your group and always connect with other target members, because then you'll feel that kind of balance of actually other people feel like this too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe what we're trying to do on this podcast anyway, is bust out the myths that often a lot of us are all sat thinking in our own heads these thoughts, but have never really voiced out loud or realised that other people have the same thoughts too.
Totally. And do you know what? That's the thing I find most often I get sent messages personally about is, oh my God, you and Claire said what I was thinking. It's so nice to hear that you think like this too, or people feel like that, because actually, What we're led to believe sometimes as people who have been overweight is that we're wrong or we're unnatural or it's abnormal. Actually, it's totally the reverse. And just to hear someone else say it almost shifts the burden a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, staying on that kind of theme about things we're saying in our own heads and not voicing, we've come to like the rather what has become quite an epic section of the podcast, which is the consultant shout out section. We're going to read out a roll of honor. Okay, I shouldn't doubt myself. A roll of honour of names that you guys have sent us as a thank you. We actually put an Instagram post. You can go see that consultant shout out at Slimming World Podcast on Insta. And we had like nearly 200 comments of people thanking their consultants. So it became huge. So we can't read all of the messages. But what we have done is we've picked out a few which we thought were quite interesting, and then we'll read as many names as we possibly can to finish the episode. So just kind of staying on that mindset of, you know, how we feel, Claire Louise sent us an email in, and this is what she said. It's a bit of a long one, so bear with me. At the start of lockdown...
I said, get a cup of tea.
Oh,
all right,
thanks.
Listen.
Do-do-do-do. I feel like I should put some music on. Claire Louise sent us an email. This is what it said. At the start of lockdown, I wasn't happy with where I was as a member. Truth be told, if I'm not happy as a member, I'm usually not as confident and comfortable as a consultant either. When I first started as a member, I lost over 4 stone. I launched as a consultant and instantly loved the job. I've loved growing my groups and just seeing the members transform. In the past few years, my life took a knock in physical health, financial, baby number 3, and my mental health has suffered too. But walking into group, there is a switch that flicks and it's like all my own life disappears. It's one of the many things that I love about the role, and so many of my members are unaware of the majority of it. I wouldn't want them to know, so this is good. The issue I've realised is that I have added an extra layer of guilt and pressure onto myself in keeping up appearances. Something that Anna's mentioned about having my phone turned off certain hours was an alarm bell. When I looked at that, I realised I'd slipped into a habit of almost offering to be there for my members 24/7 in a way to prove I'm totally fine. Obviously, this is madness and just made the situation worse. So over the past week or two, I've been working on a routine that works for me, for my husband, my kids and my members. I want to be there for them and always will be, but they will benefit not suffering from me having better balance. They will benefit from me having better balance. It's one of a massive positive that I'm hoping to take out of lockdown. Anna, I plan to join you on that goal of walking back into group feeling fab and hopefully a target member. I mean, talk about honesty.
Do you know what? Oh, Well done you. That is a tough thing to write. And I think you are amazing that you've done it. Because do you know what? It's so easy as a Slimming World consultant to feel like you have to give your soul. And it's not what our members expect or want. They want us to be well and happy. And I love that you've had the courage to do that. I'm excited for her.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting as well, it's like thinking about of our consultants as humans, as members, fellow members. And Shanine sent a message about her consultant, Tommy Tucker, and saying how he goes above and beyond. He provides support for his members over three different evenings. He runs a weekly quiz night and he's always there on standby for support. But he never puts himself first. And she says Tommy's priority should be also that someone needs to remind him to take care of himself too. And I thought that really tied in, you know, with Claire Louise's message there. So we have a huge list of names to read. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. But just a quick reminder of what's coming up next week. We've had to slightly rearrange our schedule. So we'd said that Sal's podcast was going to be last week, but it's actually going to be next week. So next week we're chatting with Sal Henley, also known as Store Cupboard Cooking Sal. We find out what happens behind the camera when she's been filming her current series of Slimming World recipe videos in her sister's kitchen. You can go and watch those, by the way. They're on the Slimming World YouTube channel. We also get to play a game of Ready, Steady, Cook. If you're feeling inspired, here's what we use. Chopped tomatoes, potatoes, and either chicken breast or tofu if you're veggie, vegan, or meat eater. So that's what's coming up next week. But now I feel like we need to clear our throats and get ready for this rather long list, which we are going to take in turns to read. And first of all, we apologise if we accidentally read your name wrong or we change your sex. Or we just make up your name. But yeah, it took a long time to write all of these out. I'm sure there's people that we have missed off this list. So we apologize. We can't possibly get through. But here is 100 names of consultants across the UK.
So ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay. Zoe Moll. Dean Woods, Nicola Ireland, Paul Green, Maria Gray, Jess Levitt, Naomi Palfrey, Lorraine Hall, Dawn Waldron, Sue Kennedy, Belinda Baker.
Janine Ollie, Elaine Fraser, Rachel Salmon, Lou Robbins, Caroline Milton Dobson, Sam Holland, Jenny O'Brien.
Claire Nicole, Nora Butler, Lauren Fitzell, Hayley Carter, Marie O'Sullivan, Charlotte Wilson-Smith, Daniel Fishlock.
Nicola Jorgensen, Fiona Folder, Shirley Blackburn, Karen Foster, Kelsey Day, Rasheed McQuillan, Lisa Watson, Courtney Crawford.
Alistair Doyle, Sue Firth, Louise McDermott, Wendy Hall, Terry Shelmadine, Tracy Ferguson, Sarah Carter, Georgie Miller.
Emma Imraheen, Natasha Perfectly Imperfect Bundy, Penny Dunn, Kevin Swales, Sam Dale, Charlotte Fraser, Carol Harris, Cara Brady.
Vicky Brown, Sharon Hiles, Verity Doherty, Rachel Binns, Nicola Barlow, Nicola Montgomery, Nikki Ellis, Dawn Morgan, Julie Rossington.
Becky Kong, Kirby Wiggins, Lisa Norris, Kay at Hemsworth, Shelley Willits, Pearl Richardson, Yvonne in Burstall, Elizabeth Taylor.
Aileen Mitchell, Karina Tanner, Chris Dudfield, Bandy Willows, Claire O'Connell, Ellen Doolan, Adam Redshaw, Anya Patton, Emma Mashita.
Lisa White, Helen Fergie McGowan, Lindsay Hannett, Tina Corkson, Lisa Filio, Sue Kennedy, Becky Jane, Jill Wilson, Deborah Lay.
Nachelle Anderson, maybe that's a typo by me. Claire Beale, Sue Sean, Caroline Rothwell, Jeanette Schwalner, Sarah Jones, Jesse Fuller, Karen Cutler, Joanne O'Flynn, Carol Stanley, and Charlotte McNally. Woo! That's a long list, and we hope that we've definitely said some of your names wrong, but we hope you appreciate the sentiment that one of your members wrote your name and we are reading your name because your member thanked you on our Instagram page. So hope that brings you a great joy to know that your name was read about, read out loud on the Slimming World podcast.
Do you know what's lovely? One of those names in there is the beautiful girl that took over my group that I had for 9 years, and she was on there. So it makes me feel so proud that she's on there.
Do you know, I was going to write your name like on Instagram, but I thought, is that a bit cheesy? So I can just basically say it to you. Thanks, mate. Thanks for being there. Thanks for helping me stick with it. You've changed my life.
Oh,
that sounds sincere, doesn't it? But it's not. It is like, it's from the heart.
If you could see her face, she looks the most insincere person you've ever seen in your entire life.
Oh, yeah, you know I love you, man. You know I love you.
Yeah. All right, man. I love you too.
I mean, I spend more time with you. I talk to you most days. I'm not just I'm not just hanging out in group. I spend time with you. I work with you now.
No, we haven't seen each other in so long.
March the 13th.
Oh my God, she's got it down. I'm going to give you the most uncomfortable hug when I see you. I'm like, not going to let go.
It's all right. I'll just have a little coughing fit and then you'll stay away.
Yeah, hold on.
Right, that's enough. This turned into the longest episode ever. We didn't even have any leopard print wearing listeners with us this time. We're back next week with Sal. Have a great week. Enjoy your food. Enjoy the sunshine and enjoy springtime. Saying bye.
Bye for now. Bye.